Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I didn't realize that it was layering up to the point where I was starting to really digest what people were saying. Mix that with the struggles with my sexuality, which I hadn't at that time yet identified with. My head was all over the place.
There are days when I really struggle with the way I look. I feel like I don't look how I feel.
Welcome to another episode of the Waffle Shop podcast. Today I'm joined by someone who, quite frankly, I've wanted to waffle with for quite some time. So I'm very excited you took the time today. It's Charlie King, TV personality, body positivity and mental health advocate. Welcome to the Waffle Shop.
No, thank you for having me. I feel like it's been a long time coming, this one.
A long time.
Long time, yeah.
The amount of times I spoke to Emma, I was like, can I speak to Charlie? Can I speak to Charlie?
Yeah, I'm sorry I haven't been so forthcoming, but you know how life
the
is.
The time's right. The time is right.
Yeah.
So, like, they're starting off a new year, fresh start. Things are looking good.
Yes, absolutely. So when the call came in, I was like, I've got to do this one. So it feels right.
It's all positive. Positive vibes. I'm saying positive vibes. I start each one of my shows with something that's quite negative.
Oh.
Because it's something that's, quite frankly, got on my goat. But once I've spoken about it, it makes me feel a little bit better.
I'm here for that.
I have tailored this slightly because it's one that's a real big bugbear for me. But what really bothers me is being referred to as big lad.
Big lad.
Yeah. Okay. For reasons we'll like obviously dive into like throughout the pod. But you know, like when it's that kind of like, it's the presumption, isn't it? It's just like, you're kind of like, you don't know that I'm actually really struggling here from like a weight perspective. I mean, it's not on them. It's obviously how I've kind of like interpreted it. But yeah, being called big lad.
Big lad. I get it. I guess it's context, but you know, people use terms, don't they? And if you're feeling a certain way or it's a trigger point, then yeah. I guess I can see why you could get annoyed with that.
Yeah.
So it's good. Just vent it out. I'm always a great believer in if something annoys you or someone's calls you something or says something that you just don't like, you just got to call them out on it and just say, I don't like that term. Big lad, what does that mean?
Yeah. What are you insinuating here?
What are you getting at?
We get that.
So, but yeah, let it out. I believe in that.
See, I feel better already. Good. I knew you'd get it. See?
I get it.
Off to a flying start. Is there anything that gets on your nerves that you'd like to get off your chest?
Do you know what really gets on my nerves as I'm kind of getting back out there a little bit more? I've had probably quite a bit of time out in recent years for numerous reasons, which we might talk about. But getting back into the social media space, I get really fed up with these reels that have these motivational speeches over the top, and it's someone's content which is, it just doesn't really align, and I find it quite, it makes my stomach turn a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing more and more of them. Or you jump on a trending sound, which probably in a few months' time, you'll be like, Charlie's jumping on trending sounds, or he's doing these motivational speech type reels for his content. But I find them quite tedious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, not another one.
It's not like if you've seen one, you've seen them all, isn't it? Like,
get up, 8 a.m., do what scares you every day. You're never going to, like, oh, please.
Oh, I felt that. I'd use that.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll
maybe you're doing it wrong.
Okay. Yeah, there you might go. Be. Okay.
No, I respect that, to be fair. One of the, on touching on that, the people who point in videos at like captions that aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're post edit, they are. So that annoys me.
Yeah. I got to say, I actually tried that. I tried that recently because I was trying to do a top five on something. And it just didn't work.
But top five, I don't mind that, because it's like, that's a bit like Top in the Pops, like number one, like that kind of
stuff.
But when it's like, this is what I had for breakfast, eggs, like it's that kind of just like, you could have just said, I had eggs and bacon.
I just,
that was a really poor example.
It's crazy how people think we all care. It's crazy.
Look at us sitting here slagging them off. We're not slagging them off. Not at all.
It's the world we live in now.
Definitely. People watching, listening, will recognise you from being on one of the biggest TV shows in the UK, in my opinion. The only way is Essence. Mm. Now, I kind of wanted to touch on it slightly, because obviously it's been going now for as long as I can.
Forever.
For as long as I can remember. What started you off on that? Because obviously you went through quite the journey on that TV show.
Yeah.
Like, how much of it did you obviously throw yourself into? And I imagine, did it take quite a lot away?
Yeah, it was such a random experience. And it was definitely something that I wanted to be part of. Being an Essex boy and being part of the lifestyle that they were portraying on the show, there were definite elements of my own life that I really related to. And also, there were elements that I'd never seen before. I didn't know about that specific area in Essex, because Essex is a big place. So I was fascinated, and I became really fixated on the show and really invested. And I think in my own little way, I was manifesting. I'd always wanted to do something in media. I really got into music. I liked TV. I've always loved my pop stars, actors. There's been a buzz around it for me forever. So when that show hit, I remember thinking, oh, I'd love to be on that. That's awesome. And it was just a weird version of events that got me on there. I had a business in Essex. Producers were on the scout. They crossed paths with me in an organic way, which made me feel it was meant to be. And I took the opportunity to go and have a casting. They didn't know where to put me in the show because I didn't know anyone. And they were definitely looking down the whole Gemma Collins route. She had just come in onto the show. And I explained that I'd never really had a relationship before. I was totally looking to explore that side of who I was, which I did naively. I gave my life to a reality TV show that was very structured. And they could definitely see there was scope with me. It was just about finding the right in. So the Gemma Collins thing seemed to work, because I was genuinely open to meeting her and taking her out, because for me it was going to be a new experience. Yeah. And I was like, well, why not? Let's give it a go. She seems really fun and I'm open to it. But obviously I was putting myself right in the firing line and the lion's den, absolutely, which has taken me quite a bit of unpacking to do in later life. But in that moment, I was quite fearless with it, because I did trust. I trusted it was meant to be.
Yeah. No, I respect that. And you could look at it as if, like, I'm a big believer in regrets not really being a thing. Things happen for a reason for you to get to a certain point. I'm a big believer in them being stepping stones rather than, like, just fully obstacles.
100%.
And to be fair, you don't know, like, if you hadn't have done that, your life might have not kind of took the direction that you wanted it to.
I always feel with that show, I'm really proud of my participation in it. I do think I managed to show a different side of an Essex guy. Hence, I'm still sitting here today talking about it to an extent. But because I'd had such a turbulent younger life with schooling and bullying and people questioning everything about me, I kind of wanted to prove to people, I'm going to show you I can be a someone. There was just something in me. So that show was without doubt one of the biggest shows at that time. And on ITV, I was like, I'm doing this. And all of you people that have said bad things about me or beat me up at school, you're going to watch me in your living rooms with your boring lives, and I'm going to get the last laugh. And I still feel like I did get that. So
still getting it now. Like, yeah. Obviously, we were kind of talking about it before we hit the record button, but it's kind of shaping up to be a big year, you know, diving back into the whole, you know, media, the TV and stuff. And I think compared to, I mean, obviously, I didn't know you before, and obviously, we've only met for the first time today, but I feel like there's a real fire at the moment that I feel like, yes, you kind of, when Tawi first came around, like you jumped into it, obviously you said you were quite fearless, whereas now I feel like it's more on your terms. What's coming next? Like, you know, you're in control of what's happening now.
Yeah, and I think that's a really nice thing for you to observe and say, because I've really put the work in over recent years. I think when you go into this industry or in the bubble of the reality TV circuit, it can be very short-lived. It's very hit and miss if you're going to have success. The landscape has changed a lot, especially post-pandemic.
Yeah.
And I really needed to reevaluate everything and figure out what do I really want. I'm getting older. Obviously, I've had some life experiences that sort of knocked the stuffing out of me. I became really despondent with a lot of things. But equally, when you do look back on the whole journey to now, I feel like there's still more to be done. And that's what's given me this reignited feeling of, come on, Char, like, you've got still more to do.
100%.
So let's give it a good shot again.
One of the things, and I'm going to kind of throw some kudos at you here, okay. And one of the things that I would really love to see happen is you diving into, like, using your own story, obviously, which we'll dive into if you're okay with it in a little moment, but around the whole body image, especially with men, like, because I don't think we speak about it enough and how men can be betrayed and, you know, how we feel, like, in our bodies.
Mm.
I would love to see some form of, like, you deep dive in with people, like, about their journeys, why we kind of, as men, or anyone, to be fair, because, you know, this isn't just like a specific, like, gender thing. Everyone experiences this.
It's true.
So I'd love to see that.
Yeah, that would definitely be something that I was working on something last year, and I really thought it was starting to pick up a bit of pace, and then typically it didn't. And it knocks you a little bit, because I'm the sort of person that when I get involved in a project or there seems to be an opportunity looming, I get fully invested in
it. You've got a big heart. Like, you
yeah,
can see
that.
Like, I've got TV, you can see that.
I've got this way with me. And so, and when a channel or a production company starts giving you a little bit of a green light on things, oh yeah, we quite like that, we're going to develop this, I thought, amazing, this is going to be what this has all been about. Because as you say, the idea of giving something back, talking on subjects very close to my heart and showing me in a slightly different, maturer light, someone that's gone through things, someone that's got the t-shirt but can use my experiences, knowledge, expertise in different areas, meet other like-minded people for a greater good of sharing stories and making people feel like they're not alone, especially around that subject of body image.
It's paying to purpose, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's everything. I mean, I kind of touched on it briefly. Like, it's the reason why the podcast exists.
Yeah, which is
like
amazing.
It's the whole learning side of things. It's connecting with like-minded people. Like, I've picked up some of my best coping mechanisms from having conversations like this. And it was, and this is why I've wanted to speak to you for so long, is because you have almost become like a little bit of a safe space in terms of like, oh, okay, well, I'm not probably going through it to the levels that you went through it, but there are days when I really struggle with the way I look and the way I feel, and like, there are days when I feel like I don't look how I feel, and vice versa some days.
I get it.
So obviously, thank you for creating that space for people.
I really stand by that mantra of, through sharing you can find a common ground, and that was in my bio for a long time on my socials, because I think you're right, all of us go through stuff. Not everyone speaks up. People quietly go in search of things to find answers, to feel like they're not alone. And the biggest lesson in all of this for me is, by sharing a story, you realize so many people connect and find some kind of common denominator in it somewhere. And that's a powerful thing. And that's why these podcasts and conversations are so important. So yeah, the more we can share, I always say, the better. So
I completely agree. I'd quite like to dive into your story, if that's okay. Obviously, feel free to share like whatever you feel comfortable with. But like I said, like, there are parts of it that I really, really relate to from a body point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I'd quite like to go back a little bit. Like, when did that start? Like, was there like a pinpoint moment? Or is it always kind of just been there bubbling away?
I think in the reflection of me having done some self-work in the recent years that I spoke about, it probably was always there. I think the insecurities were there. This identity crisis was always there. Obviously going into things like TOWIE, which were very stereotypical, and the pressures to be of a certain way, or to feel like you needed to be a certain aesthetic in order to be seen as attractive, yeah, popular. It became a numbers game with followers, competition, who's getting the gigs, who's seen as like the most attractive. At the time, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it now, it was the one that there was just no filter on that. As we know, it was quite difficult to just have people commenting on every aspect of what you look like. And whereas I'd always been quite okay with how I was, I didn't realize that it was layering up to the point where I was starting to really digest what people were saying. And mix that with the struggles with my sexuality, which I hadn't at that time yet identified with, my head was all over the place. And the one thing I could control was the image. And so I went all guns blazing into this whole idea that I need to be something else. And so I got the opportunity to shoot with Men's Health magazine back in the day with TOWIE, and I met the team over there, and they were very, you know, they're experts in this field, and they gave me a personal trainer for this period of time, and we were going to do this big shoot where I'd gone from this sort of skinny boy to like this man.
Yeah.
And the response on that, and the responsibility of doing that shoot for them, because they take it very seriously.
It's a worldwide famous, yeah, kind of thing. So it's not, isn't small like magazine shoot.
It was a lot of eyes on this. So it was a huge transformation for me. But what it did do is it set the tone of what it is to be muscly, what the work was required to be that, and to then get this response on people now like looking at you from a physical angle, like point of view. And I just remember it was like a ping moment. And so the nature of the person that I am, which is quite OCD and get very focused, it just became, that was the starting block, yeah, of the bigger journey of like, well, then the body's going to be the best it can be, and I'm going to keep pushing, and nothing's ever going to be enough. The goals will never, ever...
Never satisfied.
That's right. So it was, that was probably where it all started, yeah, from. But bear in mind, from school, yeah, lack of confidence, being bullied, it definitely all plays its part.
Well, I suppose it was more under a microscope when you dived into that world, because like you said, it is all like, you know, cameras in your face, kind of,
yeah,
you are naturally going to feel a bit more almost exposed,
mm,
so you want everything to be looking a certain way. Thank you for sharing that. There's a question that I want to ask, like, obviously the external was starting to like take shape into a way that you're like, this is what I'm happy with. Is there a point where you kind of felt differently internally in terms of like from a mental point of view, or did that again come later?
Yeah, at the time I think I was such a hamster on a wheel that I was riding this wave of being on this amazingly successful TV show and getting these incredible opportunities. And I think it's a common story for a lot of people that get opportunity like that, or they're in the public eye for a minute. It's a whirlwind and you don't really realize what you've done until you step out of it and then look back, which is what I've done. So I think I was a bit void of what it might have been potentially doing to me or my self-esteem or any damage at the time, because I was on this roller coaster of this crazy ride. And then obviously the sexuality stuff I was going to then deal with. And it wasn't probably until I then dealt with that and afterwards that I started seeing where I was losing control of my relationship with myself, if you like.
No, but it's a very difficult thing to navigate. Even one of those things alone is difficult to navigate. Yeah. So if you throw like sexuality in and like identity and even life in general, it's chaotic. It's a tough one. I was actually speaking about it earlier on to another guest on another recording about the whole sexuality thing, because I wasn't comparing myself to others, but all of my friends, like both male and female, obviously we got to a certain age, everyone else was getting married, everyone else was having kids, and I felt absolutely nothing. Like, and I've, for such a huge period of time, I was like, well, there's something wrong with me. Like, I don't want to be with men. I don't want to be with women. I just don't want to be with anyone. But again, through kind of conversations and kind of opening up and learning from other people's stories, I found that, well, actually, yeah, like maybe the reason why I'm not happy or no, I'm not, because I'm kind of just shutting myself off from a world that until I turned 30, I was like, well, I'm going to see what happens.
Yeah.
And it just kind of like, I feel like now I'm the most happiest I've ever been. And like proudly say, like fully bisexual.
Amazing.
Never felt like, even saying it out loud is probably like a bit of a weight lifted off my shoulders.
That's great.
But that's another side of the pod that I never talk about. So this is what I mean. It's like, this is why now I know I'm having the right conversations with the right people, because I feel so comfortable and confident in my skin.
Which is what we all want, and this is what we need to continue sharing, because it's such a powerful thing when you can sit here and own who you are. I lost sight of that myself, and I realised how damaging that is and how sad it is when you can't. And so that's a mission for me. That's definitely part of my future plans. It's helping people feel empowered with who they are and embracing their individuality. And this is why my journey, I've spoke about my journey from TOWIE to now millions of times, and it never gets boring, because it shows the individuality. It shows how someone's journey can be different. I was definitely a late developer.
Yeah.
I went into a reality TV show never having any girlfriends, boyfriends. I said on that TV show, I'm open to whoever. Could be a boy, could be a girl. Saying that 12, 13 years ago, whenever it was, on a reality TV show.
It was a different world even back then.
It really was. I was really trying to be as open and honest as I could be back then. And I think it was refreshing, but it definitely caused a lot of confusion with people, because they didn't know where to put me. And I want to show that, and even to this very day, it's okay if you don't want to be labeled. The labels are for people that want to be labeled. If you don't want to, if you're still finding yourself, amazing. You might not find yourself until you're a 50, 60, 70-year-old person. That's your journey. Yeah. And as long as you're having a good time, or you're having a good life and you're happy exploring, then there's no time frame on any of it. So yeah, that's why I share the story a lot.
No, this is good, really good. Like, I knew it was going to be good. I feel like, yes, all fired up now.
Wicked.
With obviously like the TV show and like your journey, I'd quite like to talk about like the future. And like, even to fair, even like now, as well, obviously we were catching up before we hit the record button, you know, you work in like the massively like the fitness industry now, like you obviously UPT.
Yeah.
Is that a coping mechanism for you for when the days do get a little bit chaotic?
Fitness for me is an absolute no-brainer every day. It's no different to me needing to make sure I brush my teeth.
Yeah.
It's just got to be done in some capacity. I really appreciate what it does for my mental well-being. And I like the environment of a gym. I like to see what other people are doing. I've always been that type of guy. Even when I was very much a loner, I joined a local gym, and I found comfort in just watching people interact and work out, and I saw the pro it had on you, like the positive stuff. So fitness is definitely a thing for me every day, and that's why I'm still in the industry, even though I did step back a little bit from it. It's definitely part of the future. the other sort of coping mechanisms. I actually really do need my solitude. Sleep is really important. If I don't have a solid 7-8 hours sleep, I feel terrible. And I'm not ashamed to sort of switch the phone off and be like, right, I'm not speaking to anyone after 10 o'clock. I'm in wind down zone. The phone is in airplane mode. And if anything happens or you can't get hold of me,
your control anyway.
Sorry.
No, Joe, I really respect that.
So sleep is really important. And music is a thing that obviously, like if I'm on the train into London or traveling around, which I do travel quite a bit, I love to listen to music. I've fallen out of love with certain types of podcasts.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of...
Wait, slag me off.
No, not you. I don't want to say who, but you know there's some big giants out there.
No, I feel like...
And I'm just fed up with the contradictions. So,
Yeah.
You get it.
I'm on the same page. I respect that a lot. Do you know what? You said something that I genuinely love that you said, and it's solitude. I think especially... It's a tricky one because when... you are in a certain headspace, you know, the easiest thing sometimes it is to retreat. And then you kind of get like, oh, why are you ignoring me? And this and the other, that side of it. But I think there is, it's the same as like a battery, isn't it? You need to recharge a battery for it to be able to work. You can't charge a battery in like in a chaotic environment because it's just not going to work. But I'm exactly the same. I need that kind of downtime. Like I've created like a room in my house now, which is literally just my room, other than my bedroom, just to kind of go and like, if I need to, just my little space, just to have a breather.
Escapes.
Because it is constant.
Yeah. This is if your output is high, and that metaphor or analogy, whatever the word is, analogy,
that's it.
Of the battery thing.
Yeah.
Is it's true. Like if you just keep plugging the phone in, getting a quick fix, the battery soon just drains down again. You need to have that full plug in. Recharge, and then people and you are going to get the best out of whatever it is you're doing. So I think having that space and having that bit of you time is a very, very valuable thing because it actually benefits everything else around you. So I'm all for that, and I love just pottering around. Actually, I get real if you can just potter, that's actually a really good sign that things are all right, because you're not so consumed. It might just be you're chatting to yourself. I talk to myself a lot, by the way, and I just get I get quite enjoyment out of that. Just clarifying.
Next time, just hit the record button because you never know what it's going to turn into. I did it. That was my first episode.
Was it really?
I just sat down and I just spoke because at a time when I needed to speak. Here I am 4 years later.
There we go. See, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, I recommend it.
Absolutely.
And to be fair, it might not actually be a bad avenue considering what like the world you kind of want to dive into and, you know, with the story that you have to tell and like to connect with others. Like I genuinely believe it's one of the best like media formats. Like I'd recommend it to anyone.
Yeah.
And it's saved me thousands in therapy. So
this is it.
I mean, you can invoice me afterwards, but
no, absolutely.
It's coming in.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If there was anyone listening into this and was potentially from in your shoes, whether it was sexuality with their body, even from like a mental point of view, do you have any kind of advice that you would offer up?
I think
that was a bit of a broad question.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is it's very, I say the word subjective quite a lot. I think what's very, what people need to remind themselves is all of us, every single one of us on this planet will have to overcome some type of obstacle, trauma, challenge, the goods, the bads. It's just part and parcel of this life. No one's void of it. Even the people that we absolutely admire and worship and think their lives are incredible, we know that nothing is as it seems. So I think that you have to always be kind to yourself in the sense of that this is just your experience of life and these are the things that you've got to deal with and they are valid. And obviously, if things are starting to consume you, going back to what we said earlier about, I can't stress enough the importance of expressing how you feel and sharing that to someone or in some capacity, that in itself is such a powerful thing because you're taking control of it. It's when you sit on something and you lose your mind with it and it becomes obsessive or it becomes so consuming, you don't express that. You're just a pressure pot. And that's when it can get messy. And that's where you can go down some dark roads or feel like there's no help or you're on your own. And we need to get there before that because you're never on your own. And I think that that's always just my first thing. Even if it's someone that I'm training in the gym that's nervous of the gym environment, it's no different to if you, when you drive a car, we got to start somewhere. And that's just part of life. We're going to be brand new to something at some point, or something's going to get us and we need to figure it out what we're going to do. There's that song, isn't there, with the sunscreen where it's like, don't worry about worrying because something that's going to hit you on a boring old Tuesday is going to be the thing that really defines what you might be worrying about. So in context, I know things obviously affect people. I've been there. I think I always just say, let's start by breaking it down, remembering you're not on your own, remembering that we all have stuff to deal with. So where do we go from here? So that's always point one.
I felt like I want to clap with that. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Obviously, with this kind of drive, though, it led you to Parliament.
Yes.
Obviously, yeah. To make this, and this is, again, I respect it so much because you're using your voice, your platform to make a real change. You know, you don't get to the doors of like probably one of the most important buildings. Yes. In the UK.
And I've got to be honest, I didn't realise what I'd let myself in for. And I was only talking about that to my mum's boyfriend the other day because he didn't really know a lot about what I'd been doing. And we were talking about Jeremy Hunt because obviously he's the Chancellor now, isn't he? And he was head of health and the social committee when I spoke. So I spoke to him about everything that obviously I did in Parliament that day. But that was a big deal for me. And I think that I was really proud when I walked out to know that my story and a guy going in from the TV and sort of that superficial world that sort of the only ways Essex and reality TV shows might be known for, and giving it real articulation of this isn't just about TV people, this is about an industry and advertising and people's mental health and how people see themselves and all the imagery that consumes us and what people are allowed to do and screening when it comes to mental well-being before you embark on treatment, surgeries. And yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot, but it was a very fulfilling thing to do. And I really helped them build a report, which over these coming years they are working on. And I'm yet to see certain things, but there's definite been progress made, which is good to see.
That's insane.
Yeah,
congratulations for that.
Well, honestly, I'm just pleased that they listened, because you know the government, there's a lot of hot air on it, isn't there, and it's very divisive now. I feel always it's not a great space and people have got a lot to say on different things, and I just always try and see the positives in certain areas. And the one thing I will say is, despite all the other mess that's going on out there right now, they did listen, and they are, by all accounts, working on things. And we've got to take that and run with it, I think.
It'll get there.
Yeah, I think.
I hope it gets there, because I think the more it's happening, the more we are talking, the more we are sharing these stories.
They get it, that body image affects mental well-being. And it's about making sure that vulnerable people are protected. And what we see in this day and age and how we can access things is governed.
Yeah.
And if we can do that and make things a lot more realistic and have a lot more protocols in place, then hopefully it will stop a lot of people going down these routes where it can be very damaging. So, yeah.
It scares me. It really does scare me. I'm just quite grateful that I grew up in a time that before Instagram, before social media, like it came in obviously very later on for me. Well, not for me, obviously, for anyone who's in their 30s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm quite grateful. So it does worry me, but I do think it's moving in the right direction.
It's moving in the right direction. And the one thing I kept stressing was we got to get to these young kids first. Yeah. Because a lot of how we are shaped is by our school life and when we're young and impressionable. And we didn't, as you say, we didn't have the pressures of the social media elements as such back then. And it was still quite difficult for some of us.
My sense.
Right, yeah. But we got away quite sort of scot-free, if you like. Whereas nowadays you've got, just growing up in itself is a challenge. Where, you know, you're learning things all the time. And then you've got this whole added like cloud over your stuff that you've got to deal with. So especially with advertising and what young kids perceive as real and whatnot, that's where I think a lot of it's got to start from. So
it's the ideology, isn't it, of perfection?
Yeah.
Like we're all like, your version of perfection isn't the same as my version of perfection. So we're all chasing something that essentially doesn't exist when we're chasing the perfect body, the perfect lifestyle. It's like,
it's exhausting.
It starts in there, not out there. And that made sense.
Yeah, no, it does, absolutely, because it's a thing that's intangible. It's not really a thing. Mm. And you think it's an end goal or a certain thing, a certain aesthetic or whatever. Even not even just about image, like I want to be rich or I want to be this one. Nothing is ever as it seems. You have to remember that. So I don't know. I think that I need to do more in that space. And so that's a goal.
I feel like that was a little bit of a watch this space kind of little nod.
I've got two nephews and they're so adorable and they're two little young lads and I just want to make sure that they grow up in a space which is healthy and open and transparent, which is what we need. So I think that will always be a mission in the back of my head, even not even in a public way, but just as an uncle.
No, I respect that. I respect that a lot. We need more Charlies in the world.
I'm not all angel though, I've got to say. There's a dark side to me. Well.
You mentioned music, so I'm going to have to talk about it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So music is one of my biggest coping mechanisms. I'm a big believer in people having a song, album, artist that have soundtracked the good, bad, the ugly, the breakups, the holidays, everything in between. I've seen you dance on TV, so I know it doesn't take you a lot to get you on the dance floor.
I love to dance.
Does there need to be a certain song playing to get you on the dance floor?
I have to be in the mood because I'm not actually someone that goes out very often.
Yeah.
So when I go out, I sort of hype myself up that I'm in that mind or headspace, shall I say, that I'm going to cut loose on the dance floor. I used to do quite a lot of the dancing on TOWIE, which got me mixed reviews. But a lot of people didn't realise I was dancing with no music on at the time. It was horrendous.
No.
We'd be, because of sound and the way they had to film it, I would be squeaking around the dance floor with no music on whilst they got the shots.
Yeah.
So that was when people...
I mean, to music, that would have been a skill. But to the fact that you were doing that in almost silence.
In silence in the sugar hut. Like, just,
I mean, I feel like I respect you more because of that.
Honestly, if only you knew some of the stuff. I mean, a lot of the stuff was real life, but obviously then they had to do what they needed to do from the TV point of view, licensing with music and whatever. So I would get a little dance, but then I'd be like, Charlie, you need to do that again, but there's no music playing. So it's like, great. But yeah, nevertheless, I love to dance. Yeah. I would love to do one of the dancing shows. I really would. Or I'd even like to do the Full Monty one for the charity.
Okay.
I think that would be fun. I was watching Gemma Collins was on it in the last season. And I was watching thinking, because the Diversity Studio is where I live, down in Leon C.
Can you just like start popping
in? Well, I was thinking, do I pop in for a dance class with Ashley Banjo and say, oh, by the way, count me in
for doing this with no music.
Yeah, I've got talent here. Could I maybe look at going on the Four Monty? So if I can dance,
yeah,
it's a form of expression. I love it. I think
that's all that matters.
It's a good thing to do. It's my little release when I'm in the mood.
So anything essentially gets you on the dance floor.
Yeah, if I'm in the right mood,
silence.
And Jennifer Lopez plays.
Okay.
If the horns of Get Right come on.
Yeah.
I will dance. I was actually invited down to the premiere of The Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Which is like, I think it's like number one on Netflix right now, and they had an after party, and I was there, and I heard the horns of Get Right.
It's like game over.
I'm like,
to go.
I'm in.
Do you know, I listen to how I kind of get into my running. I listen to Super Bowl performances.
Amazing.
And hers and Shakira's is like a solid 15 minutes.
Iconic.
Gone.
Yeah. That was so, just before the world shut down, that one. It was a big
recommend
deal.
It. If you ever need to kind of, well, I don't know, I'm saying this to the wrong person.
No.
You should be the other way around. Any advice.
Super Bowl performances are great. I'm here for it. I absolutely love Madonna's one.
Yeah.
And I loved the hip hop one with Snoop Dogg and Mary J. Blige. So yeah, I'm here. Like live music, if I can listen to the live versions.
I'm the same. Absolutely. I have like a playlist with just purely live versions.
Live versions, the instrumentation, it just hits differently. And the crowd scream, and you're like, they're screaming at me as I'm running.
As if you're pretending it's me.
That's it.
It's a really painful song.
That's
okay, I respect that. Respect that. Ray's album at the Royal Albert Hall.
Is it good? I watched the performance of that. I love Ray. We're here for what she's doing.
Honestly, big fan. Big fan. On the flip side, is there a song or an album that puts you in the feels or makes the feels come out?
There are. I mean, my mum is so musical, and I grew up listening to such an array of different music, but if I really fancy a little cry or a release, I always go to the Carpenters. There's something about Karen Carpenter's voice and the story of her personally, and it gets me. I can't control it, and there's a comfort there and there's a sadness, and then when I finish, I'm like, okay, I've had my Carpenter moment. So I listen to We've Only Just Begun, and when I hear that, it's got a lot of different meanings for me personally. So the Carpenters put me in my feels, and Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. And I get, like, whenever I post about Michael Jackson, it makes me sad, because obviously he's a divisive guy, but I get Michael Jackson. And
you can't, I mean, obviously I don't know, I'm not even going to dive into that side of things. That's way above my pay grade. But you can't deny the music.
No, that's right.
It captured everyone, regardless of how old you are.
Like, absolutely. Big part of my childhood. Yeah. And so whether you like artists or not, for my own personal childhood and what used to make me feel good, George Michael, Michael Jackson, Madonna, Prince, there's just certain songs in all their catalogues that, if I want to go down memory lane.
Those are really important.
They really have. So for sure. But the Carpenters, if you catch me on a down day, the Carpenters will be playing.
Final question.
Go on.
Is there a song that you'd like to put in a box, wrap in chains, kick to the bottom of the ocean, and never hear again?
I can't stand it. Blurred Lines.
Okay.
Bloodline. Yeah. Oh, no.
Some of it doesn't even rhyme. And they know it doesn't rhyme because they make a joke of it not rhyming.
I can't stand it.
Do you know what's interesting? I've asked this question quite a lot now. And there seems to be a bit of a theme with like Pharrell Williams songs. That seems to
be big. To be honest. But Pharrell used to like the Neptunes and everything back in the day. Is super cool. And with that.
Then Happy.
Yeah. It's those sort of songs.
Not Happy.
Even the new Miley one that he's on, there's something about it. It feels very dated, repetitive, and I can't. And also, let's do two. The Bruno Mars one, I could have bought you flowers. That is going to the bottom of the Atlantic. I never want to see, hear, whatever that
box
again. Yeah, they're songs that just make my. I could go on about that, but I don't want to,
Welcome to part three.
Yeah, we can just go through the songs I dislike. So, yeah.
Something that we didn't talk about that I'd quite like to, because obviously you're wearing it.
Yes.
So I'd quite like to...
Oh, come on, let me give a plug.
Yeah, massively.
So...
Smart stuff.
Thank you so much. Getting back into the fitness space, and if you didn't know, I have a clothing brand, which I launched back in COVID days. And I just had a couple of t-shirts that I designed with a friend of mine. We put it out there. It did really well. And it was a really lovely feeling to see something that you've made come to life, see people buy it. The support was really, really cool. And over the course of the last few years, I've managed to get it on some really cool people. And the customers of my kingdom, we call it, is by Charles King. The kingdom is a space where people can come. We want you to feel empowered. You own your crown. That's the mantra of the brand. But like anything, clothing brands and the space of that is very, very saturated. It could be very expensive, and you can get caught up in all different stuff when it comes to minimum orders. And I've learned so much about the clothing.
Business is just a whole new language. Yeah. It really is.
So realistically, looking back at everything of where I want to go next, I love doing it. I've got a great little team that helped me do it. My fitness career has been something that's really paved the way for me over the last 7-8 years. I've managed to travel the world with it and work with incredible people and do some insane things on the back of it. I distance myself, but going back to what I said about I need fitness in my life. So actually, if I need something in my life, why not just keep going with it and share it? So mixing the fitness and the clothing and creating devised programs under this new umbrella, which I've got, which is called Beyond Your Physical, which if you see, I've got an infinite sign on my wrist. Yeah. I was born 8th of the 8th at 8 p.m. So everything about me is like 8, infinite.
Oh, wow.
There's something there that I really, really resonate with. So when I was looking at how to combine stuff, the infinite logo just keeps coming at me. And I was like, I want to do something with the infinite, because our possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to remind people. That's part of this mission moving forward. And obviously working with individuals in the PT space and fitness, I want people to feel empowered and that you can go about your life and reach beyond any expectations. So Beyond Your Physical, I'm launching fitness programs under that. My first one is Rebuild, because I'm at this point now where I'm rebuilding a relationship with something. And I think that's really important to remind people that we all have to sometimes start again, build those solid foundations.
More okay to. So.
Correct. And so that's my first program. And then mixing the clothing with it. So a lot of people wanted socks from me over the years. I've always had DMs about, will you ever bring out socks?
Some of the people are DMing you for socks.
Oh yeah, that's a whole nother world.
Business.
Maybe I need to investigate that in some investigative journalism. But yeah, and I'm here for it. I mean, like, I'm open to whatever. So we've launched socks, we've got the hats, we've got some t-shirts and vests coming, and it's all going to be part of come on board with my fitness plans, get beyond your physical with the clothing and own your crown with the By Charles King. And let's see if in a year's time, I'm a millionaire.
We have to come back on.
Yeah, as an entrepreneur, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I'll add that back in.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big year. Very big year for you.
I'm
genuinely really excited.
Thank you.
There's a lot of fire. And like, I genuinely can really feel it. So
I'm
very excited
that.
To see what this brings.
No, thank you for the opportunity. It's always good to talk. And I'm always here to share the story. And if someone can switch off from this now and be like, oh, I enjoyed that, or I've learned something from that, then I think you and me have done a really good job. So,
well, I've enjoyed it, so that's
me too.
It's my podcast.
So win-win.
It's a win.
Good stuff, Taylor.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank
for a
you.
Waffle.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.